And when I was a kid, we said, God is good, God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for this food. Right? We're going to talk about the Holy Ghost. Now, you want to stay encouraged? Pray people through the Holy Ghost. You can't become discouraged praying people through the Holy Ghost. Because when you're discouraged, you probably can't pray them through to the Holy Ghost. So we're going to talk about praying with seekers. It's under my name there, second lesson. And I want to make something very, very simple. Because I know that some of you are probably struggling with people that you would like to pray through to the Holy Ghost. And you're wondering, you know, just what's wrong with them or what's wrong with you. And let's try to find out. Praise God. Luke 24 and 46 says, "And thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Absolute. "But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And they did go, and they did tarry, and they were, part of them, filled. How many? All of them. 3,120 in one day. And you may be seated. The only time in the Bible that they ever tarried was in that second chapter of Acts. There's some things we need to settle in our minds, because oftentimes you get discouraged praying with people who can't pray through to the Holy Ghost. Settle it. God made a will. Old Testament, a testament is a will. New Testament, a testament is a will. The will has been authenticated. The testator has died. It's in effect. Shall. Notice the promise. Look, let's look at it. Joel 2:28. What does it say? I will pour out my spirit. Isaiah 28:11. That should be 28, not 23. And with stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to this people. Never a variation. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Luke 11:13. "He shall give the Holy Ghost to them that ask." How many scriptures we need? Acts 1:8. "Ye shall receive power after." Just like it was automatic. Now the Holy Ghost is going to come on you, and when it does, you're going to receive power. And that power, of course, is dunamis, the word for dynamite. Acts 2:38. "Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." John 7:38. "And Jesus said, if you believe on me, as the scripture said, out of your belly or out of your life shall. Everybody say shall. Shall. Flow rivers of living water. You with me? Everybody with me? You believe it? And then, of course, there was the promise fulfilled in Acts 2. Now, we have to identify with that promise. You see, when I say there's a will, who's it made out to? It's made out to me. It's made out to every seeker. Whosoever will, let him come, let him drink of the waters, or take of the waters of life freely. There's been a will made. We're included in that will. It's conditional upon our response and our faith. And when that's involved, it will be fulfilled. So we identify it. The promise is mine. Every promise that I have mentioned to you today, it's mine. The day of Pentecost was fully come, and they tarried there for 7 days. Somebody said 10. I think it's 7. Doesn't make any difference. But they did wait. And they waited and waited and waited. The only reason they waited was because the Holy Ghost wasn't given. Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Acts, you're going to receive this Holy Ghost. And then it says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet, or 7th chapter of John, rather, the Holy Ghost was not yet because Jesus was not glorified. So they had to wait until the day came. That's the only reason they waited. They didn't have to wait to get into condition. They had to wait because they did not know the day appointed. Once it came, they never waited again. They went down to, from the Jews in the second chapter, they went to outcasts. Nobody wanted the Samaritans. And Peter and John laid hands on them. They had been baptized, and they received the Holy Ghost. And then in the 10th chapter, Peter is preaching. And while he's preaching, they have not been baptized. Gentiles, Jew, Samaritan, Gentiles, received the Holy Ghost while he was preaching. They were pagans. These people knew absolutely nothing about the Holy Ghost. I think sometimes the less they know, the easier it is. If there's anything you ought to tell people, and I used to say this when I pastored, it's easy to get the Holy Ghost. God made it easy. Don't ever make them struggle, because they'll get in that syndrome and sometimes you'll never get them out. You have to stop people from struggling with God about the Holy Ghost. Nobody wrestles with God. Nobody has ever wrestled with God that I know of except Jacob. And he didn't wrestle for the Holy Ghost. He wrestled to get a personality change. From Jacob the deceiver to Israel the supplanter. But you don't wrestle with God. He already made the promise. What if you told your kid if he mowed the yard, he's going to give him $10, and then he comes up and grabs hold of you and starts to wrestle you and says, "Please, Dad, please, you promised me." You say, "What's the matter with you, son? Just turn loose of me and I'll give it to you." And that's the way God is sometimes. If you just turn loose of me a minute, I'll give it to you. And we got to get people out of this struggle syndrome. It is simple, simple, simple to get the Holy Ghost. No way could 3,120 Jews in one day get the Holy Ghost if it wasn't simple. The only thing that makes the Holy Ghost complicated is us. Okay, then in the 19th chapter of Acts, these people were a little harder because they were religious. They were good people. They were probably the best people you could find outside of Holy Ghost people. They were John the Baptist converts. They popped a few buttons when he asked them who they were. "John the Baptist baptized us." They were happy to tell him that. But what they didn't know was that the Holy Ghost had come. And he baptized them or rebaptized them. And then he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Did it happen? It did happen. Amen. It did happen. You see, these were, the world would call them Christians. But we say they need to be born again. Now, Luke 12:32 says this. "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That's God's attitude. How does God feel about this person that I'm praying with? Why don't you read that again and again and again? "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, if you're a father, how many fathers here? Do you like to give your kids things? I thought when my kids got married, that'd be it. Man, that's just a beginning. If your kids haven't gotten married yet, hang on tight. And then the grandkids get more. You just started. You see, that's the way you raise them. They're always going to be that way. "Dad, could you loan me, you know what? Dad, could you loan me a buck?" And then it gets to be $5. And then it's $10. And then it's $20. And after they get married, "Dad, could you go my note for $20,000? You know, it just kind of changes. But I'm going to tell you, when you do something for your kids, if you really love them, you enjoy it. I just spent a week with my kids. I wouldn't want to tell you what it cost me for that week. And when I came away, I was empty. I mean, I had enough gas money to get home. But I will have to tell you, I felt good. You know why? Because I love them. Because I love those kids. They love me. They're not taking advantage of me. I like it. Amen. God's like that. God is like that. It's His good pleasure. So when you're praying with somebody, I think we need to qualify them oftentimes. They're not going to get the Holy Ghost if they're not ready. But most of the time, it's not because they're not ready. They can repent on the way to the altar. They really can. We've all seen sinners walk off the street and walk down to the platform and on the way get the Holy Ghost or as soon as they got there. But what we need to know is there a barrier. If there's no barrier there, there's no reason they cannot receive the Holy Ghost. If they've repented, they don't have to arm wrestle God to get the Holy Ghost. He will give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So then we come to the recipient's attitude. Are they hungry? Are they hungry? Are they really hungry? And you know what? I can do more with people talking to them and finding out where they are than I can praying with them half the night. I like to talk to them. I like to see what's their hunger. You start to talk to them about Jesus, and all at once you got their attention, and tears start to roll down their cheeks. You know they're ready for the Holy Ghost. Is he hungry? Does he understand the power of the name of Jesus? I like to tell people, speak that name of Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Is it a pleasure, men, to tell your wife you love her? Is it a pleasure, women, to tell your husband, I love you? Say, Jody, yeah, I love you. I make you feel good? Amen. God likes to hear us say, I love you. Jesus, I tell new people, I love you, Jesus. Tell them, say it. I love you, Jesus. Say it again. Do you feel something when you say it? If you really mean it, write it down here. You're going to have tears going to roll down your cheeks. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. If they can understand that in that name you can cast out devils, you can speak with new tongues. That's what he said. There is nothing can stop the name of Jesus. Let me tell you about this new age and the demons that have invaded our world. Don't you let them scare you. I just want to give you one short reason why they don't have to scare you. When God gets ready to bind Satan, tell me how many angels he's going to send. And I've got a feeling he's going to be a runt just to embarrass old Lucifer. If one angel can bind Satan and the angels of God, plural, camp about them that love him, you don't have to be afraid. But you do need to use that name of Jesus. His name puts you in touch with him. And then you understand that God is a spirit. Here's where a lot of people, they don't touch God. They don't recognize him. How many gods are there? How many spirits are there? It's just one. What's the name of that spirit? Okay, we're calling Jesus. This new convert, he's not baptized with the Holy Ghost. He's saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And all at once, he feels the presence of God. Does he say to that presence, I need the Holy Ghost? Uh-uh. That is the Holy Ghost. He needs to recognize it. If God is a spirit, it's not one spirit for healing, one spirit for blessing, another spirit for repentance, and another one for the Holy Ghost. Any time he feels the presence of God, he is being introduced to the Holy Ghost. Isn't that simple? A lot of people feel his presence and they say, oh, God, I just need it. I need it so bad. No, no, no. You're here. You're here. As far as I know, I'm the only Jack Yount Sr. in the world. They could only make one that ugly. Now, you could say, well, I just don't believe that's Jack Yount's. So I'm going to go around the world. I'll just travel. I've got lots of money and lots of time. I'll travel to my... You could travel anywhere you wanted. You wouldn't find Jack Yount's. I said that to say this. If the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is there and they don't realize it's the Holy Ghost, they cannot receive the Holy Ghost. They got to recognize that God is there when they feel his presence. And usually they'll weep. Not always, but most of the time they'll weep. And when they are in that presence, they are there. God has introduced himself. The Holy Ghost is there to say, hey, I'm ready. Open the door. I'm coming in. Now you have to tell people this because they don't know it. They think when they feel God's presence, they're getting an introduction to somebody so they can ask for the Holy Ghost. And maybe they're 10 minutes away from the Holy Ghost, and they'll never get it 10 minutes away. They'll never get it a minute away. They have to say, this is God. This is the Holy Ghost. This is what I want. You're here right now, and you're coming in. That's how people receive the Holy Ghost. Okay? Exercise the liberty of worship. Some people are bound. They're intimidated. You know, oh, Jesus. And you've got to tell them, no, look, get your hands up. Wave them just a little bit. And I want to tell you, talk to people when they're having struggles getting the Holy Ghost. Don't just let them struggle, struggle, struggle. Don't let somebody stammer and chatter. Stop them from chattering. Whatever you do, they can chatter from now till Jesus comes, and they'll still need the Holy Ghost. They will never get the Holy Ghost chattering. Chattering is not the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it's not wrong to talk to them. I stopped a young lady Sunday night. She'd been praying for the Holy Ghost for 2 years, chattering. I said, "Now, ma'am, I've already explained it to you, but let me tell you again. That's the Holy Ghost. There's no question about it." I mean, she was weeping. Holy Ghost is there. And I said, "The Holy Ghost is trying to come in, but you're going to have to just stop that chattering and talk to God." And I mean, boy, that's exactly what she did. Now, she'd have still been chattering because she'd been doing it for 2 years. I'm just trying to make this as simple as I know how. It is so simple. The reason it is, and the reason I know it is because children 4 years old get the Holy Ghost. It's got to be simple. We complicate it. So, understand His presence, exercise the liberty of worship. You may need to get them up and walk them around. Say, "Hey, just let me walk with you here. Get your arms up there. Open your mouth. Say, 'Jesus, I love you.'" And because they've got to exercise a little. I will say this. I thought nobody could get the Holy Ghost with their face in the pew. But I was wrong. I was there. It was one of my people. And with her face buried down the pew, the only one I've ever seen, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said they can't get it with their eyes open, and that's been proved wrong, too. What are you expecting? Here's where a lot of people get hung up. What are you expecting? And this is what, you know, somebody says, gets up in testimony. "Praise God, I got the Holy Ghost. A bright light hit me. I felt fire go out my feet, and I was that far off the floor, I fell over and didn't come through 2 for 3 hours. Well, that's marvelous. I don't have any problem with that. But here's this new convert praying for the Holy Ghost, and he's waiting for that white light to hit him and that fire to come, and it never did. When I got the Holy Ghost, a new convert, I didn't know you were supposed to tarry, but there was a guy in that church who had been praying for 5 years. The first night I went to the altar, I didn't even go to get the Holy Ghost. I went to pray. And I was honest and hungry, and before I left there, I got the Holy Ghost. So I prayed with him. On the fifth year, he got the Holy Ghost, and he sat on the altar, and he said, "I could have done that the first night." I said, and the preacher said, "Well, why didn't you?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know, I hear these testimonies, and I was waiting for this sensational thing." He said, "I knew where I was. I knew what my name was. I knew what I was doing. I didn't know what I was saying, but I knew everything else. I thought I'd be off in some other world." People get that concept. Somebody said, "I got knocked flat on my back." Maybe they will. That's only a bonus. That's not the Holy Ghost. There is only one thing they do when they get the Holy Ghost, and that's talking tongues. And some people praying with others don't even recognize it when they get the Holy Ghost because they're so quiet. And you got to get your ear right up to them to hear them. And I'll tell you about new converts. You say, "I'll never tell them." I will. If they talked in tongues, that's all they're going to get. And if they didn't get the Holy Ghost and I tell them to keep praying, they're frustrated. They'll be praying 10 years from now because you've got to recognize the Holy Ghost. When people talk in tongues, that is the Holy Ghost. It's the only biblical sign. And new people don't know what that is. All you got to ask them, "Did you talk in tongues?" "Yeah." "Is that the Holy Ghost?" "No, but that's the sign of the Holy Ghost. That's the sign that the Holy Ghost came in." Now, I'll tell you something else. When I pray somebody through, and I prayed two through Sunday night, I stand guard over them. Because as soon as they get talking in tongues, brand new converts, this one girl was a pagan. Walked in off the streets. I mean, she looked like a pagan, too. Had not been baptized. She was about 18. And I knew she didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. I talked to her. "Yeah, is that what you want?" "Oh, that's what I wanted, praise God." But you know, she stands there, and then they start to say, "Oh, Jesus, I love you." And people get around and say, "Now, if you come on, you get the Holy Ghost." I'm not going to let them do that to them. They don't have to talk in tongues for 2 hours. If they talk in tongues, that's the only sign. One of the best men I ever pastored, who is still, raised his whole family in the church. He's a pillar in the church. Talked hardly at all, just a few words in other tongues. You say, "But I want him to get a good experience." Okay, is there a bad one? Is there a good experience and a bad experience? How long do they have to talk in tongues? I'm telling you about some of our hang-ups because people are different and personalities are different. We never did get this man to just get lost and rattle off and on like I did when I got the Holy Ghost. But I saw the fruit in his life for the last 15 years. That's enough for me. Amen. Doesn't it bear fruit? So what are they expecting? Sometimes they've listened to the wrong people, and they're expecting something they're not going to get. All His promises, we hear them speak with tongues and magnify God. So they were speaking in tongues part of the time, and part of the time they were talking in a language that Peter understood. They did not talk in tongues all the time. Am I right? You don't understand people when they're talking in tongues. Okay, they got to accept the gift. I got it! And that's why I say, I'll talk to them. If they really talked in tongues, and I know they did. He said, did you speak with tongues? Yeah, I said something I didn't understand. Okay, the joy comes when they understand. Most of them will understand it. But the joy comes for some people when you tell them that's what you've been looking. In fact, when people start to talk in tongues, and I'm praying with them, I say it right in their ear. That's what you've been looking for. Take a deep drink. You can have all you want of it. This is Jesus' love. It's the Holy Ghost. Drink deeply. That's what I tell them. Praise God. And if they just talk a little bit, I encourage them. Hey, this is just the first drink. Come back and get a lot more. I don't tell them to stop. No, man, you can do this anytime you want to. Now, when you get home, you can talk in tongues again. Yes, sir. When you come back to church, you can, hey, once you receive the Holy Ghost, you can praise God and talk in tongues anytime you want to. Take that liberty. I encourage them to do that. And you can't work for it. Some people believe that, but you can't. You can't work for it. Amen. I know a man who wore out the saints of the Most High. I mean, he put big black marks on the floor and where he had prayed. And in his prayer, night after night, I'm telling you, he wore us out. And then one night in a blackout when nobody could pray with him, he finally wore himself out. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You never get good enough for it. Some people think they are, you know. And then the devil wants to put people on guilt trips. They can't get the Holy Ghost there on a guilt trip. And you can't, yes, I do believe in restitution, but I do not believe I got to go back and restore for those watermelons I stole. And I don't even know what the name of the man was I stole them from. Now, I could be without the Holy Ghost if somebody told me I'd have to find that man because he's not even alive. See what I'm saying? There's some things that got to go under the blood, and they got to be forgiven and forgotten. And people have to understand that. When they're down there, they got to understand if they've confessed their sins and forsaken them, that Jesus has wiped it away from His records. They're not there anymore. They'll only be in their memory, but never in God's annals will they ever be recognized again. And so, you can tell them that. I prayed with a man one night till 2 o'clock in the morning. About 2 o'clock in the morning, his wife got the Holy Ghost. He was a big old farmer. And he sat there and bawled like a baby. He said, I wanted the Holy Ghost too. And so we prayed with him, and he got the Holy Ghost. Now, you know what I thought? See, I was just a young convert. I thought we held on and held on and held on until God finally broke through and gave him the Holy Ghost. Broke through what? What can withhold God? How about a sinner that comes down to the altar weeping? Can anything in this world stop God from reaching to him and forgiving his sins? Neither can anything stop God from giving people the Holy Ghost whose hearts are where they need to be and they're reaching for Him. You know what actually happened to these people? They wore their resistance down. Hallelujah! 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 That's not what gets the Holy Ghost. Surrendering gets the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right here. And I feel the Holy Ghost when I say that. That's not performance. I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So they commit, they separate, they accept. That's the three things they do. Now, Let me work on the transition of the Spirit. Getting from here to there. Over to the Holy Ghost. Let me show you where most people hang up. They stop right there. Getting from here to there, you go through a no man's land. You might want to put that in your notes. And some people have to be told that God doesn't talk in tongues. I had one convert that came up and stretched herself out. She was about 3 feet wide. And on an 8-inch altar rail, she stretched herself out, folded her hands, opened her mouth, and said, "God, Holy Ghost." It didn't work. No, God doesn't talk in tongues. Whose praise is it? Who is it that's loving Him? It's ours. So when we get the Holy Ghost, we talk in tongues. Not God, us. I want to tell you something. I have never been speaking in tongues that I couldn't quit anytime I wanted. Now, I know some people have been off in a trance. Some people have seen angels. I never have. I'd like to. I don't doubt that they did. Some people said they've talked to angels. I've never heard the literal voice of God. I'd like to. And I don't doubt people that have. I've got to live with what God gives me. But I do know one thing. I can stop talking in tongues when I want to. And when I'm in the Spirit, I can talk when I want to. When Brother DeHart was up here, and I mean, man, I was over there talking in tongues. Because I could feel it. Amen. Brother Jerry Jones preaching last night. And I was back there talking in tongues. I mean, when the Holy Ghost is there, you're plugged in. It's just automatic. Somebody gives a message in tongues, we all want to talk in tongues. Because the Spirit's there and you're plugged into it. So, we can stop it or we can start it. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. It's not a tongue. It's our tongue. And as we praise God in English, we surrender to the language of the Holy Ghost. We don't make up words. We surrender to the language of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me show you where people stop. They stop in that no man's land. Let me take this mic off of here for just a second, and let me show you where they stop. Okay? They're over here talking in English. But when they get the Holy Ghost, they're going to be over here, and they're going to talk in tongues. Now, to get from here to there, there is an old man's land that Isaiah talked about. He said, with stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to this people. Now, there's a few people who walk down to the altar, raise their hands, start talking in tongues. But 90% of them stammer before they get the Holy Ghost. I don't mean chatter. I mean stammer. There's a difference. Stammering is neither English nor neither tongues nor English. It's simply stammering. It's that intermediate area. Okay, when they get to this intermediate area of stammering, they stop and say, wait a minute. They're saying hallelujah, 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 and it gets pretty deep. And then it's not hallelujah, it's hallelujah. And man, hallelujah, hallelujah. You ever see them? Hallelujah. You know, I mean, they're really enunciating the words. And that's when you got to stop them. You just got to stop them. Say, hey, wait a minute. You're right there. Now, you're as close to the Holy Ghost as you're ever going to get without receiving it. I've got to explain it to you. And I said, that's as far as you can go without receiving the Holy Ghost. And what their real problem is their lifelong thinking. The brain says English. None of us, when we talk, want to stutter. We want people to understand the words. All of us do. We don't want to be accused of not being able to talk. And suddenly, into our ears, we hear words, almost words, that we've never heard before. It's like the first time I ever jumped off a diving board. I was just a kid, a 30-foot diving board. I ran out on the end of that because everybody was diving. Man, it looked so great down into that deep water. And a little old skinny kid, I ran out there and got to the end of that board and saw how far 30 feet was. I put burn marks in that diving board. Just grooved them in. No way. And then I was embarrassed because everybody's watching, you know. So I get back and I take another run. I'm going to do it this time. Live or die, sink or swim. And I run out there. And man, I take one glance at that water and put another set of burn marks on there. And finally, I just said, well, I got to do something. So I held my nose and jumped. I thought I never was going to hit that water. But you see, brain said, head up, feet down.
Head up.
See, we fight a carnal nature to get the Holy Ghost. The old man's got to die. That's part of the old man dying, is our thinking. So when they come to this end of the diving board, brain says, head up, feet down. That's where the surrender is. No, Lord, I don't care what it sounds like. That's you. That's the Holy Ghost. Once people will accept that when their language, when the Spirit is there and their language is changing, that that is the Holy Ghost, they instantly accept that. They go right into the language of the Holy Ghost. But every one of them almost stops right here. Now, Sunday night, I preached for Brother Bill Coltharp. He's got a great church. We had probably 500 people there. And we had a beautiful Sunday morning service. We had 7 adult sinners at the altar repenting Sunday morning. Sunday night, the choir sang and they blew the roof off. I mean, we danced. We swung on the chandeliers. And I thought, that's the end of it. You know, it went on for about an hour. And nobody got the Holy Ghost. There were a lot of tears. Beautiful service. And he looked at me and said, okay, the service is yours. You know, usually after you shout for an hour, everybody's tired, you go home. So, okay, God, give me a word. I know I can't preach what I was going to preach. And he turned it to me and they hollered, preach. Well, it wasn't right. So I took my notes from this little lesson that I'm giving you. And I took about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, and preached on the simplicity of the Holy Ghost. I asked for all of those who needed the Holy Ghost to come and sit on the front bench. And it was about 10 of them. And then after they sat on the front bench, I did that before I preached. Preached to them this simple little lesson that I'm giving you, the transition of the Spirit. I asked them to come and stand. Within 15 minutes, 8 of them had received the Holy Ghost. Just bang, 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 bang. The only reason I'm telling you that is to show you it's so simple. You don't have to back up on God. I was right here I'm in Michigan. I was in Ohio with a very fine young man. He'd been a little church. He had 12 people the Sunday morning I was there. I preached in a lot of small churches. I don't mean to tell you when I say I preach for Brother Coltharp. I preach in more small churches than big ones. And nobody had received the Holy Ghost in that building in 2 years. And he said, Brother Yance, I do have 3 people who need the Holy Ghost in this service this morning. 12 people. So he gave me the pulpit. We didn't have any music. We did have, I think they played one note on the piano. So there was no musical. There was absolutely no atmosphere whatsoever. And please, I'm not trying to boast. I am trying to show you some simplicity. I got off of the Bible stand and came down in front of the pew. There were 2 pews of people. And for about 45 minutes, I taught them just a simple Bible lesson. And then I asked them, I said, I know there's some of you who want the Holy Ghost. If you'll come and stand, I'll promise. No song, nothing. God will give you the Holy Ghost. They came and stood, 3 of them. That morning, 2 of them got the Holy Ghost. That night, the other one got the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil put you in a corner because you don't have music. God doesn't require it. I think it's beautiful, but he doesn't require it. He will work if you will let him work. Now, I want to tell you something else. For many years, I was not capable of praying people through effectively to the Holy Ghost. And most of my life, I was afraid and intimidated that I'd get out on a limb. I'm not there anymore. I will tell people, you want the Holy Ghost, you're sincere, you come down here, God will give you the Holy Ghost. I'll make you a promise. He will do it. Amen. If you will explain when people are struggling, 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 don't struggle with them all night. Because when you do, you teach them that it's a struggle. Now, when I pastored, 30 minutes was about all the time we'd pray with people for the Holy Ghost. Get them up. Send them home. Why? Because if they pray half the night and then get the Holy Ghost, they're telling the next one, you got to pray half the night to get the Holy Ghost. And you say, man, that's a struggle. I've seen people hit the altar night after night after night after night. You know, 15 years, one got prayed through it at our camp 1 year. 15 years they'd been struggling. And it wasn't a struggle at all. They had just never come to that place, say, hey, here's God. I recognize him. It's the Holy Ghost. I accept it. It's mine. They claimed it, and it became theirs. But the transition of the Spirit is where you lose most of your people. And if you just simply explain to them where they are and what's happening, I'm going to tell you, it makes a whole world of difference. I'm checking my time because this time I'm going to take my time. Okay. Amen. All right. Defying human reasoning. I already covered that. Conflict of the intellectual and faith. That's exactly where they are when they start to stammer. There is that conflict. And again, let me say, you don't conquer God's reluctance. I don't mind telling them, you can't talk in tongues and still talk English. You got to decide which one you want to talk in. And when the Holy Ghost is there, you can talk in tongues. I'm telling you. Not just I can, but a brand new convert can. That's what the Holy Ghost is. Praise God. Okay, and then let's talk about that complete surrender. Amen. Brother Sisko, I've heard him teach lessons on receiving the Holy Ghost, and he said there's three questions you can answer, and the third question, if you'll answer it, you can have the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's answer. Does God give the Holy Ghost? Would he give it to me? It's easy, isn't it? Would he give it to me this instant? Now, when people say, you give it, yes. When they can answer that question truly, yes, this instant, he's given me the Holy Ghost, they have it. Amen. So, there is a simplicity of faith. It's so simple. The Holy Ghost comes. We're praising him. We're loving him. We're weeping in his presence. Suddenly, he's there. We recognize him. We accept it. And it's ours. It's that simple. Recognizing the Holy Ghost, I've already covered that. The Spirit came. You felt the Spirit. Recognize it. I was with Al Gosson when he was in Tampa, Florida. And while I was teaching there that morning, there were two people, two adults. Now, Al Gosson has prayed a lot of people through the Holy Ghost. But there were two people in that congregation that needed the Holy Ghost. And I gave them those three questions of Brother Sisko's in the altar service. And would you believe we didn't have an altar call? It broke out in the pew. And those two people both received the baptism of the Holy Ghost back there in the pew. Simply making it simple. Now, if they're a chronic, you got to talk to chronics. I mean, you got to talk to them. They've got to have their concepts changed. They got to have their approach changed. They got to understand that they've got to have the Holy Ghost. It is the spirit of the new birth. They have to understand that God is ready. Amen. God is ready. It's been a beautiful experience in my life to help pray people through to the Holy Ghost. I remember I was called into a hospital. And I remember when Brother Black came to Indiana when I pastored there. And he told about praying somebody through the Holy Ghost in a hospital. And that ate my lunch. That bothered me. Because I said, now, wait a minute. God, I have never prayed anybody through to the Holy Ghost in the hospital. And why can Winfred Black do it and I can't? And I thought, boy, they must really tear things up. Tear up the beds. Have nurses running down the hall. No, it was very quiet. And that's what he told me. I baptized this lady who knew absolutely nothing about Pentecost, but her daughter told her about baptism in Jesus' name, and they said she had cancer, and she said, I want to be baptized. And I said, well, if you find a place to be baptized, and I spent about an hour and a half and explained baptism. I said, you still want to be baptized? Yes, I do. Okay, you find a place, and I'll baptize you in Jesus' name. They called that evening. I went back, and believe it or not, I baptized in a baptismal tub. A bathtub. Any of you ever baptized? In case you haven't, I'm going to tell you, it's not like a baptismal tank where they all go under at once. You got to do it in stages. But it works. And she sat there in that hospital. There were three pagans standing there in that room and one worker besides myself. And I'm kneeling in that wet water besides that bathtub. And I'm shocked, because I wasn't expecting this. Lady says, what do? I said, I love you, Jesus. She said, I love you, Jesus. She was about 65. I love you, Jesus. And all at once, she just started talking in tongues. Just as quietly, just as beautiful.
Those pagans standing there with the tears running down their cheeks. I didn't do it. I'm just trying to tell you how simple it is. It is so simple. One of my Bible study teachers called me one day and said, I got a lady over here. I think she's about to get the Holy Ghost. Pastor, would you come? I said, well, what makes you think she's about to get the Holy Ghost? Has she ever been to church? Oh, no, Pastor, she's never been to church. But I've been teaching about the Holy Ghost. So it's okay. I got over there and I sat down at the dining room table where they were sitting. And I just started talking about Jesus. And when I did, tears started rolling down her cheeks. I said, ma'am, you know what? You're feeling the Holy Ghost. Now, if you just lift your hands and say, I love you, Jesus, that's what I always tell them to say. Hallelujah is good, too. Whatever they say, they just come from the heart. I said, you get the Holy Ghost. I didn't even touch her. I didn't get close to her. She just lifted her hands, boy, and those tears started to flow, and she started to cry, and the Holy Ghost, I mean, just rolled right out. No song service. No congregation. I'm trying to tell you that God will work with you, missionary. And I promise you, I honestly promise you, I wish I could take you back in my ministry, especially in my young life, that most of you are much more capable than I've been. He will work through your life. I was called into a home. The folks had come to church, and in fact, I went to see them. And I'm talking to them about God. And they, right there at the dining room table, they say, hey, I could see God working on them. I say, hey, I think the Holy Ghost is here. So we knelt down at the chair. And the old fellow, he said, well, he said, I know. He said, my wife will get it first. Well, he was a prophet. About 5 minutes, she was talking in tongues. Better pray a little harder with him. Right there in their home. Hey, you get some tough ones. I had one tough one. He was an engineer for AT&T. He was almost a genius. Real smart. Too smart. He knew too much. Anyway, he was stoic. I think if a truck would have run over three people outside, he'd have walked in and said, you know, Pastor, it looks like a truck just ran over three people. And I think they may be smeared all over the highway. We think we ought to go look. It was something else. I taught him Bible studies. We worked on him. He wouldn't answer us. He wouldn't ask one single question. Finally, he went to the Episcopalian church. Finally, he asked if he could get a copy, a chart. I said, what are you going to do with it? He said, I'm going to teach it in my Episcopalian Sunday school class. Oh? I said, let me ask you a question. When you get to water baptism, what are you going to teach? He said, I'm going to teach it just like it is in the chart, in the Bible. I said, okay. So we waited. His wife fasted and prayed. And sure enough, I preached a message one night. He wasn't there. So his wife came up and she said, Pastor, that message was for John. I said, we both know it. But he wasn't here. I said, look, here's the tape. You take this to John and tell him that I want it back in the morning when he goes to work. I want him to drop it by and I want him to hear it before he goes. And she was one of those wives that you better do it. So he listened to the tape. He brought it to me the next morning, knocked on my door. I said, here, Pastor, here's your tape. See you. So I'm working on the baptismal tank, and he walks in the front door of the church, and you know how this stuff smells and stinks, and, boy, you're holding your nose. And he walks in. He says, Pastor, he said, when you get that tank done, would you let me be the first to get baptized in it? I said, yes, sir. So we got it all done. I said, okay, John, you ready? And yes, sir, I'm ready. So we baptized him, and he came up out of the water. The smile. But, oh, dear Lord, dear Father in heaven, you know, two weeks of seekers is a chronic. What in the world will we ever do with John? I want to tell you, put things back in the hand of God. I didn't promise the Holy Ghost. He did. I didn't say shall. He did. I mean, it's written. Somebody said Jesus wrote it in red. It is written, it shall come to pass. So one night, he'd been on a fast. He looked ragged. I said, John, you look tough, man. Go down before church here, because we always came early for prayer, and get you a hamburger. so you can have enough strength to get the Holy Ghost. Because I'm desperate, you know. It's been 2 or 3 weeks, and we haven't prayed this guy through. In fact, you know, you can't get him to get excited. Pastor, I need the Holy Ghost. You know? So he just smiled that night, and I taught my Bible study. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to rev things up. Lady come from her sedate Lutheran church where they never lifted their hands. They never clapped. They didn't even patty cake. They didn't even pat their foot. She walked in there one day and sat down, and we ran an ad in a paper. Once we got in the home Bible study, we never advertised much anymore. We spent, I think, $50 the year. We doubled in the home Bible study, and we had spent thousands of dollars prior to that and gained very few. But our little ad said, where happy people worship. Now, don't put it in there if it's not true. Because they come looking. So I walks back to dear old Mrs. Schwerbel. She said, I'm Mrs. Schwerbel. I'm Pastor Jans. I said, you want to know why I'm here? She's probably about 65. I said, yeah. She said, I read your ad. I said, okay, look around. I mean, we had them. She said, I did. I said, it's here. I said, what would I have to do to have this? I said, you have to get baptized in Jesus' name, get the Holy Ghost. Oh. So she listened to my lesson that morning. And she said, you said if I got baptized, I'd get the Holy Ghost? I said, yep. She said, will you make me a promise that if I get baptized in Jesus' name, I shall receive the Holy Ghost? I said, yes, ma'am. Dear Lord, what did I say? I'd already said it. And I was kind of hoping she would wait. She said, okay, baptize me. Now, remember, this is a lady, first time she's ever been in a Pentecostal church. She never heard of it. We were new in the valley, didn't have a Pentecostal listed in the whole Yellow Pages. They wanted to put me under Methodist. No, you can't do that. Pentecostal, make me a category. So she's baptized. And we took her back, we were in a warehouse, and this was the junk part of it. Way back in a corner, we'd stuck the baptismal tank, and it was cold. And I baptized that dear old sophisticated lady in that horse tank. And she came out, and she said, did I get it? I said, no, ma'am. But you're going to. Now, just close your eyes. You can talk to people. Sometimes we holler at them and they don't understand what we're saying. Now, just close your eyes and raise your hand. Now, I want you to forget me and everybody else. And I want you to put your mind on Jesus. See, she didn't know what to do. And I want you to say, I love you, Jesus. She did. She said it. I said, say, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Okay, now go back to saying, Jesus, I love you. And when you say it, I want you to just really mean it out of your heart. With everything you've got, I want you to tell Jesus you love him. I'm going to tell you within 10 minutes, that dear old lady was standing there talking in tongues in that water. Just like that. Just like that. I was preaching in Grayville, Illinois. This is the first time that ever happened to me. And there's an old fellow there that had been coming to church I don't know how many years. Nobody bothered to pray with him. He didn't bother to come to the altar. And I'm preaching, and all at once, this old gentleman screams out of the back pew. And I thought, what's going on? And I stopped. And he's talking in tongues. I mean, he's receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When I go back there, he runs for me, grabs my neck, and hugs it. I didn't do it. God did it. I didn't even touch him. I'm talking about Jesus. Remember this. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Amen? Amen. I was in Maine with Harold Churchill this few years ago. He said, Brother Jans, I got a man needs the Holy Ghost. He said, as far as good men, he's the best man I've got. I cannot pray him through to the Holy Ghost. So he said, would you help me? So I preached on the Holy Ghost that night. I thought, if it's that important, let's talk about it. People do what you preach.
I talked about the Holy Ghost. You want people to receive the Holy Ghost? You talk about the Holy Ghost. So I preached it. And he came up, stood by the altar. I went over to him. He said, "That's him." Went over to pray with him. And the Holy Ghost was all over him. And you know what he was doing? He was in that no man's land. He immediately walked into that no man's land and walked back out. And walked in and walked back out. He went into the transition of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost was there. He was a good man. God was almost trying to force the Holy Ghost down his gizzard. But he wasn't about to turn loose of that English language. So I said, "Well, hold it just a minute. Let me talk to you. Now, God won't go away while I'm talking to you." That's the Holy Ghost. You've got to understand, that's the Holy Ghost. Now, you will have to release your language. You'll have to free it. You'll have to surrender it to the Holy Ghost. So you can't be. You got to recognize this. If you recognize this, the Holy Ghost, surrender your life, your spirit, your language to the Holy Ghost, you've got it. It's that simple. I didn't stop him once. I stopped him five times because he was in a syndrome. He'd been there for a long time. He wanted to, but he didn't know how to break out of that syndrome. The fifth time I stopped him, I said, "Now, look, that's it. That's as far as you can go. The Holy Ghost is here. God is just hovering over you. You feel the Spirit? I feel it. He didn't go away because I'm talking to you. Because He's going to fill you tonight. You are going to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, when you lift your hands again and that Spirit's still here and that language becomes a little confused, I want you to forget the English language. I want you to think about Jesus and I want you to speak to God." And he prayed right on through to the Holy Ghost, just like that. I didn't teach him how to talk in tongues. You can't teach people how to talk in tongues. But if you can teach them the transition of the Spirit and the obstacles, see, they're working with a mind that's carnal. We are carnal. Our minds are carnal. And we've got to surrender that carnal mind to the Spirit. And when you do, it's so easy. People get so hung up. My dear old grandma, you know, people, some of them have to die. She said, "I see people get the Holy Ghost down there." But she says, "You know, I see them on their back, not me." And she said, "You know," said, "they let the fire go out. It gets cold when you're down there praying." I can't stand it. I get chilly. I get up. You see, that was in the good old days. That was when they had the pot-bellied stoves. That was before most of your days. And in the middle of the front of the service, they'd shake the grates. Ashes would fly. They'd poke around there with the poker, and the black smoke would roll out. You thought a freight train went by. And then it would start to get a cherry red, and people would move all the way across the building. And then as it cooled off, they'd move back over closer to the stove. And she had two hang-ups. She wasn't going to be on her back, and the stove had to be warm when she got the Holy Ghost. But one day, Grandma died spiritually. And believe it or not, she was on her back. And the fire, you'd have had to put an overcoat on it to warm it. It had gone totally out. Amen. I made up, and I'm closing here with this last little example. I went one time to hear Gene Stone. You ever hear of Gene Stone? Gene Stone was an Episcopalian that God had filled with the Holy Ghost. She did not understand holiness. She was dressed very modestly, but obviously she was not a Pentecostal. But I was, you know, they wrote several books about receiving the Holy Ghost. 9 o'clock in the morning, Father Bennett. And I went to hear her at a Howard Johnson. And she talked about people receiving the Holy Ghost. She talked about herself receiving the Holy Ghost. She talked about all-night prayer meetings. I had no doubt that she had received the Holy Ghost. Didn't have a question. I didn't have a question about any of them. I'll tell you where the question happened, really started. I knew that that woman walked down to people. Here was a woman who did not have the message of Jesus' name baptism, who did not understand holiness. She did not understand doctrine at all. But I knew that she had meetings and that she walked down and laid hands on people and they received the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues. And that ate my lunch. I left that meeting that day, and that's when things started to really change in my life. I left that meeting and went home. I think I could have crawled under a snake's belly. Never touched him. I went to the prayer room and I didn't kneel. I fell in that prayer room. I laid my face on my arms and sobbed. And I said, "God, what's wrong with me? How is it? I do love you. I love the truth. But I've never been able to do that." And God said to me, "What are you afraid of?" I said, "Okay, God,
You're going to see a daring man tonight. And I may be embarrassed. I may be more embarrassed than I've ever been in my life. But I'm going to put you to the test. That night, I taught a Bible study. And then I closed my book. And I said, I don't care who you are. Whatever you want from God, if you'll walk down here, I will pray for you and you will get it tonight. I was desperate. The first one down there was my little daughter. I laid hands on her. She started talking in tongues. The next one was a man we'd been praying with for a long time. I said, what do you want? He said, I knew he needed healing too. I said, what do you want? He said, I want everything God's got for me. I laid hands on him and the Holy Ghost hit him like lightning. Everybody I touched that night, God did something for him. So the saints lined up. I mean, it was one more meeting. I mean, they were weeping. They were bawling. They were sobbing. They were all over the place. It was such a powerful meeting that they came Sunday morning and such a meeting in the following service. And they came in the afternoon because nobody wanted to leave. And that night again, God taught me a lesson. He simply said, if you believe me, I'll use you. If you'll tell people they get the Holy Ghost, they will. You don't have to give it to them. I'll give it to them. You just tell them, I'll give it. And you make them believe that it's simple and easy. And you make them believe that I'll give it to them. And I will. Help people get the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ wants them to have it. They just need somebody to tell them how simple it is.
Now, if you're here today and you don't have the... No, this is a different meeting. We're ready. We're ready to pray them through. Glory. Hell.